Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
Okay, Sherry, what's your quirkiest thing that you love to unpack from your attic to decorate from Christmas the most?
It would have to be some of my old childhood ornaments, but quirky isn't the word Anne-Marie would use for them. She calls them gross and disgusting and says, Mom, you need to get rid of these.
Oh, that's really funny. My kids make fun of mine too because they're so 60s and 70s.
Oh, mine are just like threadbare and worn, and yeah, they're really, really sad. And I keep thinking I'm going to make a wreath out of them, and I've gotten rid of most of them. Anne-Marie photographed them, and okay, Anne-Marie, if you're listening, plug your ears. I got rid of most of them, and she was so proud of me, but there's like just a few I can't let go of. And if Kathy Lipp is listening, you know, the clutter-free queen, she needs to plug her ears too. I'm sorry, there's just a few things. So yeah, I have issues.
No, they're vintage, and vintage is very in.
Vintage, thank you so much. This is why we're friends, you understand.
Exactly.
How about you?
Definitely. It's my 60s and 70s ornaments as well that come down and my kids mock them. So
Philistines. It's the season for the Philistines to come out.
It is.
If that's, the things we get mocked for, what is it that you would consider the ideal version of Amy? Like the version of Amy there where everyone would, instead of mocking you, would rise up and call you blessed. What does the ideal holiday Amy look like and act like?
Okay, well, my newest decorating word, because you know it has to be a decorating thing,
yes,
is lush.
Ooh.
I've been looking at pictures and magazines and going, oh, that is so lush. And so the ideal Amy has her house decorated for Christmas lushly. Is that a word, lushly?
It is.
Anyway,
no.
Okay. And the other thing that would be happening is there would be wonderful scents coming from, or aromas, I guess, coming. See, I don't even know the right word for good cooking. Wonderful aromas coming from my kitchen. Neither one of these are actual deals. What about you?
Well, first of all, my family, everybody in my family sings beautifully. And, you know, Daniel and Jonathan, Anne-Marie, when they sing together, they sound wonderful. My grandmother used to sing in the Messiah, and she could hit the high notes of the Alleluia chorus. And one of her favorite songs was Oh Holy Night, and she could just reach. And I sound like a cat being strangled. So, yeah, ideal Sherry would be able to join in with all of them. And then the other thing is that ideal holiday Sherry, I feel like I'm, you know, advertising a Barbie here. But the ideal holiday Sherry dresses in plaid for the entire month of December. Her hair is always in place and her makeup is on from like 5 a.m. until like, I don't know, 11 p.m, especially, you know, if she's staying late after a Christmas program. And here's the thing. She smiles 24/7 for 31 days straight. That is ideal holiday Sherry.
Okay. Even I'm a little overwhelmed by that. But I do like the thought of magenta plaid. Just saying.
I have one skirt that is. I need to pull it out and wear it. It makes me so happy.
Well, one of our listeners is a lot like us. And she said, as a teen, I wanted to be popular. As a new wife, I wanted to impress my husband and be just like June Cleaver. As a young mom, I wanted to be the most ambitiously loving mom around, be able to juggle 4 kids, do ministry, be frugal, keep a house like Martha Stewart, and cook like Julia Childs. Oh my gosh, I'm exhausted. And so I guess what I'm saying is that my struggle with perfectionism is the phrase, want to be. And it's always followed by a way to impress others. Instead, I need to accept and want to be who Jesus created me to be, the best me I can be.
That's convicting.
So what's the real holiday, Sherry, like? This is the Barbie I want.
Yeah, this is the Barbie my family is stuck with. The real holiday, Sherry, hates doing anything in the kitchen, but I recently realized over the last few years, it's because I hate doing anything in the kitchen alone. Ah. I'm realizing more and more, and Grit and Grace, our collaboration has been part of this. I am a social learner and I'm a collaborator. And so working by myself feels like punishment. It feels like I have been sent to the principal's office and locked in solitary confinement, which of course is terrible. You know, the principal's office is terrible for a recovering perfectionist. So I'm learning to not just hint at my family, hey, you could maybe come cook with me if you want. I'm being much more candid. I'm saying things like, if you want to eat, you will show up in the kitchen and cook with me and you will enjoy it.
I love it. Bringing candid to Christmas. Yay.
Bringing candid to, that is perfect. So how about you? What is the real holiday, Amy, like?
Well, my house does look pretty. I mean, I like, you know, I like a pretty Christmas house, but it's not magazine perfect and it is not lush. And it's so funny because I posted a picture on my Instagram the other day about all the crates of my Christmas stuff.
I saw that. I couldn't even comment.
I could have alliterated that too. But anyway, my Christmas stuff that I pulled out of the attic.
I just realized. Amy Carroll.
And I have done some decluttering, and it was so funny because somebody said, well, at least your clutter is so well organized. But those crates were holding a lot of extra stuff. So I've done some decluttering, and that's good. I am still prioritizing a little bit of funkiness, which you know that in past years it has been the elf legs. Yes. I think I'm going to let the elf legs go. But I was given an elf last year by a friend that is sitting on the front of my Christmas tree in my office.
Excellent.
And he is so cute and funky. So, and the other thing as far as food is I'm learning to super shop Costco for the yummy stuff. And ready-made is the perfect thing for me. Best mac and cheese in the world right there in the refrigerated section in Costco.
All right. So any listener who's feeling on the fence, like I should make it myself, you've just been given permission. Amy Carroll says ready-made is the way to go. I love it. All right. Well, what kind of gift giver are you?
Oh, I've never been a very good gift giver, but I'm just cutting to the chase this year, especially with my kids. My boys, as I just said, send me the link, boys. Just Excellent. Send me the link to exactly, tell me the size, tell me the color, you know, so there won't be a lot of surprises, but I do add a few little surprises like in their stockings and stuff. Last year, I got bacon Band-Aids.
What?
Now, nobody loved them as much as I did, but I thought they were hilarious, so it just made my whole morning. So anyway.
Band-Aids that look like bacon.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what I'm remembering? When you were visiting a year ago and we went down to Carmel, we found this one little kind of funky shop that had some hysterical, like, coupon books and coloring books, lots of snarky things. And I have been kicking myself ever since that I didn't buy anything. And so, again, if my family is listening, which I'm sure they're not, plug your ears, but I'm going to make a trip down there. And that's going to be where I do the majority of my just fun, frivolous Christmas shopping. Because here's the thing. I used to be so intentional about personalized gifts. And again, this is so, you know, I have this history of being really good at something, really enjoying it. And I mean, it was the kind of selection where people would be like, where did you ever find this? This is perfect for me. This has my name all over it. And I would feel so wonderful about that. And then I moved into a phase of lots of handmade gifts. I did a lot of cross stitching. But then, of course, life got busy, as life does, and I couldn't do either one of them. And so the all or nothing thinking kicked in, and I went from giving the world's best gifts that made people so impressed to giving nothing, like zero gift giving, like for years now, like none. Mm-hmm. So it's time for me to kind of get back into the game and just find small, fun, symbolic things. Like listening to you already, I know exactly what I'm going to get you for Christmas. I'm so excited. So you're just going to have to wait and see.
Oh gosh, now I'm so excited. Okay. So what is your favorite part of Christmas, Sherry, that it just wouldn't be Christmas unless you did or had this thing?
Okay. So I'm going to just skip over the answer I know I should give, which is the reading of the Christmas story or sitting in church listening to. I love the spiritual stuff. I love yes. if I can go hear the Messiah, or I love good Christmas music. So putting all of that kind of expected stuff aside, the two things that are Christmas for our family always are watching the Muppet Christmas Carol, which we can now recite word for word. And at some point, we read The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. Those two things, aww. As long as we have those, it is Christmas.
And those are family activities, mm-hmm. which I love. So yours is related to mine because The Best Christmas Pageant Ever is in my book bucket. I started with a book basket, but we outgrew the book basket. And now I have a big galvanized bucket that I have all my Christmas books in. I was an elementary school teacher for years. I had such a passion for it, but I am obsessed with children's books. I love picture books. And so I've collected lots and lots of children's books over the years. So we have The Best Christmas Pageant Ever, but we also have Santa's Favorite Story that he tells the little woodland creatures, the story of Jesus out in the woods. And then we have Merry Christmas, Amelia Bedelia. I mean, it's the full gamut.
I love it. That's wonderful.
So I love getting those books out and looking through those, reading them. And listen, I always joke about this when I speak. I say, for any of you mamas that have big boys now, because mine tower over me, mm-hmm. there's this stuff at Bath and Body Works that's called warm vanilla sugar. And if you spray that on, you smell like a sugar cookie and your boys will sit close to you still. Just a little tip for you moms with adult sons.
Oh my goodness, I love it. That is the best idea ever. Okay, so
you can get them to snuggle.
Oh my word, I love that so much. Okay, I think that's going to be the one takeaway from this entire episode. We're just going to be giving all of our mom friends the thing that will make their adult boys sit close to them for once.
I'm just bringing the ridiculous to this series, aren't I?
Hey, we've been talking about how laughter is really important, so this yes. is all good. All right, well, so we've been talking about a little bit about our own unique individual approaches to Christmas. What do you think can hinder us from bringing our authentic selves to this time of year?
You know, I was on my way home from Thanksgiving. We stopped in our former hometown at Hobby Lobby before we went back to mm-hmm. our home. And while I was there, I ran into a couple of my friends. It's so funny when you've been from a small town and you forget that wherever you go, you run into people. Mm-hmm. And of course, I had not showered. It was bad. But anyway, one of my friends who is like really a close friend, a former mentor of mine, but we haven't talked for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about how busy life is. And she goes, Amy, she goes, you are reflective. You need to preserve reflective time. And when she said it, I was shocked because number one, I forgot how well she knows me, really. And number two, I realized, oh, I forgot I was reflective. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I want to do this Christmas is just to kind of preserve some reflective time because I need it. My soul needs it. And I'm wired that way.
It connects exactly to what I'm realizing. I'm about to go to my calendar and just start yanking things off. And like, I may not even move them to another month. Like they're just going to be canceled from my life. And I know for me, what hinders me from being my authentic self is busyness, being overscheduled. And it means I lose the bandwidth I need to be creative. And I quit thinking about people and I don't even see people. I just put my head down and I focus on productivity. And then I get to the end of whatever it is. In this case, it'll be the end of the holiday season. And I'll wonder what happened. Like, why didn't mm-hmm. I have any fun? And I will have once again done it to myself.
Well, thank goodness we have a God who cares about us so much. And he speaks to us in such loving terms in his word. And so we have two verses because we couldn't decide on one again this week. The first one is Isaiah 43:1 from the ESV version that says, but now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And then Ephesians 5:1-2 from the NIV version says,
Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So, Sherry, how do you see walking these verses out as we go into Christmas?
That first verse, Isaiah 43:1, that phrase, "You are mine," I could just feel that starting to slow me down already. This time of year especially, I feel like I belong to everyone else. I belong to the school, I belong to the church, I belong to my husband, I belong to my son, I belong to my daughter, I belong to the credit card company. I mean, somebody else always needs something or wants something or demands something from me. And so now I'm asking myself, what would it be like if I kept praying throughout the day, "I am yours. I am yours," mm-hmm. just as a reminder that, yes, I do have responsibilities, but those responsibilities aren't about my identity. I belong to him because he has said, "You are mine." And he says that about each one of us.
Mm. And I love in the second verse, the Ephesians 5, where it says, "Dearly loved children." And I just think, dearly loved children, they don't strive and work and try to figure it all out. They just trust and they follow. They rest in the fact that their parent has it. Mm. And I think, you know, God is really challenging me to do that more this Christmas. Mm. So the bad rule is, authentic me isn't good enough. I need to be more like her.
Ooh, that's familiar.
But the truth to focus on is, the most authentically God-created version of me is the most glorious.
Mm, I love it.
You know, it's so funny to me because this whole comparison thing comes out so much at Christmas. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we've talked about this in lots of different iterations, even in this series. But I'm always surprised when other people struggle with the same thing. So we interview the most remarkable women for this podcast. And inevitably, like everyone, I think she's so amazing. Like, surely she doesn't struggle. And then she confesses that she does, you know? And so I think we can safely say we all struggle with that this time of year. And we just have to rest in, you know, who God made us to be.
Mm, so true. This episode was developed by our intern, Iris Bryant. And here's what she said about the connection to our overall theme, "His grace is enough." She said, "God does not bestow his grace upon us based on how we measure up to others. He doesn't find joy in seeing us mimic our neighbors, but he delights in a heart and lifestyle that reflects his glory. We seek to imitate only Christ so that our actions can bring glory to him."
Mm, so beautifully said.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Grit and Grace.
Make sure to join us next week when we'll talk about one thing you need to know about heavenly peace.
For today, grow your grit. Embrace God's grace. And when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and
break it.